Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Stupidity, home of the greatest media mind ever to walk the planet.
Okay, so here's the deal. He's a true icon in every sense of the word.
He's loved and feared more than any being to grace this planet.
There's two guys. A man with a voice that sounds like Barry White and Beyonce had a Jewish baby.
God himself would pay $39.99 for a cameo. Fact of the matter is, you are about to embark on a transcendent experience that can only be described as psychological nudity.
This is Stugatz, and this is Stupidity.
Here we go, Jim.
Tony!
Oh, look at this crew. Oh,
yeah, boy. Look at you.
Look at
my
this
first
crew.
Question is how Charlie Hume weaved his way into Smiley's life.
I'm very persuasive, Stu guys, as you well know. There he is.
It's just a good bribe.
What's up, Smiley?
What's good? What's happening, boys?
I'm just laughing at Charlie, that's all.
I get to do that every day.
Yeah, you know, come on now.
Charlie, you've added some flags since the last time we saw you.
You like
your
this?
Background, yeah.
Just based on their Zoom background, you would think that Charlie was the professional golfer, not Smiley, you know?
Oh, no, wait a second. Look over Smiley's right shoulder. You see that hardware back there? Look at that trophy back there.
Yeah.
And then on the left side, there's a little NCAA trophy back there.
Right, but I can't really see it. Yours, I see flags everywhere. It looks like you played Augusta and won the thing. I mean,
I'm just good at collecting flags. And also, come on, I'm a production professional. You know what I mean? I should know how to put these things together. Stugatz remembers me back in the days of when I was putting Velcro panels on the set in the Clevelander, taking them up and down every single day.
Billy, before I ask Smiley how Charlie, who is a former producer of ours, weaved his way into this interview, okay? Before I ask Smiley how he weaved his way into Smiley's life, how the f*** is Charlie a part of this interview? How did he weave himself into this, Billy? Do you know?
I mean, I felt like he was integral to this this interview, and he had to be part of it. So here he is. Yeah, I just miss Charlie. So as soon as he's like, you know, I'd be happy to join. I'm like, absolutely. That seems to make a lot of sense.
Right.
I'm just here to facilitate. You know,
I just want to hear y'all interview Charlie, and I'll just kind of just chip in when I can.
In fact, maybe we should all just interview Charlie, you included, Smiley. What do you think?
Well, I mean. Yeah, I think it's got to start with where he played last weekend and where he's playing this coming week. So it's...
Well, let's start right there. But, hold on. Everyone, hold on. I want to get to that, but I am interested, Smiley. I know this creature. I know him very well, okay? How did he weave his way into your life? Explain that to us.
I think it was like an arranged marriage was the best way to describe it. I partnered up with SiriusXM, and Taylor Zarzer over there kind of runs the show and the ship. And he's like, hey, I got a guy that I think would be a great fit. And There we go.
Okay.
I mean, I'll tell my side of that, which is Taylor. So Taylor's an old.
But well, go ahead. I want to hear your side.
Might as well. I'm just gonna run over you anyway. Yeah. Taylor's an old boss of mine. I actually worked for Taylor as an intern when I was in college. He was hosting a radio show in Raleigh, and so we reconnected at the 2022 Masters, and we were kind of talking after that for a while. And when I went to work for Sirius, he reached out. He's like, "Hey, we're gonna pick up the show with Smiley Kaufman. I know you've done a lot. We're kind of trying to do it different than regular radio shows. Wondering if you want to advise on like digital strategy for the show." And I was like, I just want the show. Just let me get that show. That's going to be a really, really good show. And here we are, you know, however many months later.
It is the Smiley Show. Before we get to where Charlie played, and by the way, it's available wherever you get your podcast. Before we get to Smiley, Charlie, where did you play last week? Where are you playing this week?
So last week I played in the father son at Cypress Point, little 3-day deal, with my granddad. And, we played like solid golf. It was well documented on the Smiley Show. My ongoing struggles with the putter right now. We're thinking I might go in the broomstick direction. We tried a lot of things. We tried Odyssey Jailbird to Ricky Fowler's exact specs. That's not working. We tried an old Tiger Woods backup putter. That's not working. So naturally, the next step is the broomstick. But we finished second on our flight to my uncle David and my cousin Jamie, who ended up winning the flight in the tournament. But lot of fun had out of Cypress. There are no bad weekends at Cypress Point. And then next week, doing a little trip with my granddad and my brother to a little Pine Valley action. Figured as well sneak a midweek Pine Valley in. I never hurt anybody. So yeah, you know, just trying to get all my golf in while I can, while the weather's still nice.
Do you squeeze in work once in a while or what?
Charlie plays so much more golf than me. We talk about it all the time. I mean, it's frustrating how many tournaments he plays every other weekend, and I'm just working, try to get out when I can, and it's a total role reversal. But I don't know how he plays every weekend with the putting stroke that he has. It's a bit of a tough scene.
Smiley, why'd you decide to get into podcasting? Because no one else is doing that. I mean,
no, it's this niche little space that we're all in podcasting. Just needed a place to kind of share my thoughts on the game of golf and connect with so many different relationships I've had over the years. And once I kind of made my jump into the media space, you know, my role with NBC as an on-course reporter, typically when I come in and talk about shots or something about a player, it's fairly, you know, short, it's quick, it's not very long. It's not a, hey, this is what, you know, I've talked to him about and go into this long deal. It's pretty short type of verbiage for the most part when I'm on TV. So it just kind of gives me a longer platform to give my thoughts on the game of golf and also, you know, get to have some fun and kind of just, you know, it's really been a enjoyable space for me to kind of continue on in this media venture.
There's a lot of places I want to go with you. Spring break trips, Jordan Spieth, the Natty Light endorsement that you once had. Do you still have, you don't still have it, do you? No?
I got a lot of Natty gear at the house. I mean, I won't turn down a Natty if it's sitting right in front of me.
Okay. And we'll get to all that in a second. But I am wondering your thoughts on the overall state of golf with LIV, the PGA, now the merger. What are your thoughts on all that?
Man, it's just been crazy. It's been fairly difficult to form a, like, this is exactly what's going to happen. I think that's been the overall theme, is you can jump to conclusions pretty quick with a lot of stuff. From my perspective, I don't blame the players that went when they were offered the amount of money that they were offered. It was pretty stupid, I'm not going to lie. I mean, it would be hard to turn down that type of money. Where the PGA Tour, on the other hand, this year, they upped the ante and really paid at players handsomely well, and now that kind of put them in this position where they're like, we can't sustain this amount of spending over, you know, a 10-20 year period. And that's when they realize, are we going to keep fighting the PIF and this endless bottomless pit of money, or are we going to just try to partner with them? Because that's all the Saudis and the PIF, they just wanted a seat at the table and all this. And To me, at this point, it seems like the players that have stayed on the PGA Tour have made their decision. And I think they, for the most part, it's pretty separated between one and two. Maybe a player or two will continue to kind of go, come and go. But I think we're going to know a lot more by the end of the Tour Championship, which is in 3 weeks' time. I think at that point, we're going to know if this framework agreement with the PIF, the PGA Tour, and LIV Golf is, if it's going to go through or not. But until then, it's just going to be a lot of speculating.
What do you imagine you would have said, like, had an offer? We all know where the money's coming from. We all know that that's probably not the place you want to be earning your paycheck from. But what would you have said? Because those guys who took that money really came out looking pretty good in the end. What do you imagine your response would have been to, I don't know, $200 million to come play at LIV?
Well, I think it differs depending on the player, right? If I was going into the last year on the PGA Tour, I'm not playing well, and they said, hey, we'll give you whatever million-dollar deal like you just said, it would be hard to say no. And just because there's no guarantees on the PGA Tour, you know, you show up, and if you don't make the cut, you're not getting paid. And that's the big component, is that, you know, all these guys they want each other's jobs. And every single year you're competing with another guy's job, and they want it worse than you want it sometimes. And you could play well, and next thing you know, you're on the Korn Ferry Tour playing for $1 million purse. And it's a totally different lifestyle change. So there are players that made decisions that make total sense to me that went to the LIV. And then there's other players who I felt maybe if they fall out of the major championships because of official world golf ranking, which they've still are not earning points for, then you question, you know, did they make the right decision? Even though, like, they're already rich. It's like, there's just more money. Like, would you not want to play for more of a legacy at that standpoint? So you kind of just look at every single player differently in that. But going back to myself, I mean, as I sit right now, the way I played last weekend, if they came in to me and said, hey, we'll pay you X million dollars, I'm like, absolutely. You didn't see me just absolutely shoot the wad last weekend. But sure, I'd love to be on the cliques.
Right. Phil at like 51, when someone's offering him that type of money at that age, and he can still play in the majors because he has exemptions, and now they're allowed to actually play in the majors. Like, that's a really smart play by Phil.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And the Phil one's the trickiest one to figure out, because he really did have a beef with the PGA Tour and the percentages that the PGA Tour makes versus what they pay out to the players. It's not exactly a 50-50 split from the way Phil Mickelson looks at it. Like most other leagues, golfers, they don't have a union. So we don't get to look at the books. We don't have a player represented at all these meetings. We have a pack, but for instance, the NBA or the NFL, you know, there would be a player sitting in the meetings that would have been going to the Saudis and the PIF to be sitting there at the seat of the table during all of that, where the players, that's why this thing blew up the way it did, is that nobody knew about it. So from Phil's perspective, it's just the lack of trust that he had in the PGA Tour. I think that had more to do with it than him wanting to break off and try to do golf where the players really, I mean, they're getting paid, overpaid, but they're definitely being rewarded for their play.
Check out the Smiley Show, also on Twitter at the Smiley Show. Charlie,
Stugatz.
Smiley is a very cool dude.
He is.
I am wondering. I am still marveling at this connection that the two of you have.
I think can I tell you what I think is happening?
I can't get over it. I want to be with Smiley, and yet Charlie is, and that's what's pissing me off.
I think that you started this, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to give Charlie shit. And then the more you find out, the more you're going to kind of be jealous of the asset that Charlie is to Smiley, because you had Steph Curry on your podcast. And I would imagine that someone's grandfather may have helped make that connection to get him on your podcast, possibly. And then Stugatz sees something like that and thinks, you know what? maybe if I would have been a little bit nicer to Charlie, I could be doing a golf podcast with Steph Curry.
If I could chime in there, because in the booking request that came over for this this appearance on your show, I couldn't help but notice that two of the names being used to promote the podcast are ones that I booked for the show when we did this during the middle of COVID: Tom Brady and Rory McIlroy. So I'm glad that's still working for us, dude. That's really nice. You know, that's all Sambo.
And Jim Dunn.
And Jimmy Dunn. Hey,
That was a little punch and counterpunch. Well done there, Charlie.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you know, it's the only way you can. I mean, Stugatz is maybe my second
favorite. Listen, Smiley, I knew Charlie wasn't one of us, okay, when he was producing our show, and I saw him front court, like courtside at an NBA Finals game, and then like a day later, private jet, obviously, he was at Augusta, like inside the ropes at Augusta, okay? I knew he was not one of us, Smiley, all right?
You know what? You know what? You know what's ironic about that? The year I went to Augusta when I was on the show was the year Smiley was in the final group at Augusta. How about that? A little bit of synergy, a little bringing full circle here.
What happened in that final? What happened in that final group, Smiley?
Humble brag, man. You know,
You were in the final group at Augusta, dude. That's so cool.
It was tight. I hit it too many times. Actually, I didn't hit it too many times. I hit it too many times with my putter. That was the issue that day. man, it was sick. I still like get goosebumps. Just the memories I have of walking through, just the crowds there, just insane. And you can't even picture in your head what it looked like, because it just felt like a make-believe land that I was walking on all day. But yeah, played I didn't play that bad. I just scored terribly, and Augusta kind of got the better of me that day.
Were you nervous?
No, not really. Just didn't feel comfortable with my putter that day, and just like mechanically just didn't feel right. And then one of the things I struggled with that day in particular was I've never played with somebody similar to, for instance, like the Tiger effect when you played with Tiger. I never played with Tiger, but from all that I've heard is that it's so difficult to play with him, because after he holds out a putt, everybody in the crowd just scatters. You know, right. They're not waiting for you to putt. And that was what it was like for me playing with Jordan Spieth, the guy who won the Masters the prior year. And I just was really struggling to kind of get focused and deal with all the different distractions that I didn't deal with the first 3 days. So that was one of the things, looking back, that I wish I would have been more prepared for mentally. But I mean, still, it was an experience that I'll never forget. And I saw, unfortunately, what I saw on 12 was not fun either.
What, Jordan blowing up?
Yeah, but what they don't know is CBS, unfortunately, didn't. They had already cut me from the show, even though I was in the final group. I wasn't playing good enough for them.
Right.
But I hit one inside of 10 feet and made a birdie. So I was like counting like on my fingers. It's like, all right, so I made a what on 2, 3, and 4. I clipped him by 5 here. How many strokes am I behind the lead? I was thinking in my head, I'm still in this. But I wasn't.
Wait, so you birdied the hole that Jordan blew up on.
Yeah, nobody, but I still have not even seen the video. Surely they have it somewhere in their deep in their files. But yeah, I did a little fist pump after I made a putt. And Jordan was like, dude, like later, he's like, you didn't have to, you know, fist pump that. Like, that was kind of rude, you know. I was like, I was just happy to see the ball go in the bottom of the hole. Right. I was afraid of the dark all day.
Tell Jordan it's not your fault that he blew up. I mean, yeah. How does that work for you, though? Because you guys are really tight. You're good friends. And so as you're watching the Masters slip away from him, what are you doing as his friend? Like, how are you experiencing that?
It all, like on the next tee, it all changed, because I got to 13 tee. It was my honor, but it was his honor the entire day, as in he was hitting first off the tee because he was playing great. And he walks up to me and says, is it me or you? Meaning like, is it me or you to hit first? And I had never been in a situation in my life where I didn't know what my next words should be, because like, we should be like, sorry, it's me. Like, I didn't know what to say. And we talked to Jordan about it on our podcast. We kind of went into deep, kind of that hole in that situation, 'cause we really haven't spoken about it to a depth that we did on the podcast. And he said Charlie might be able to help me out here, but he referenced, I think, a Seinfeld character. Is that right? He said, always tries to make a joke of like when the situations get awkward.
Was it a Kramer or George Costanza reference? One of the
maybe
two.
I don't know. I've never watched Seinfeld, so that's the. So sorry for the Seinfeld hardos that are like,
no, that's okay. Seinfeld. I'm wondering, like, how old is Spieth where he would know that? Like, what's the matter with him?
Yeah, but that was I was just like, it's me. it was awkward.
All right, I'm telling you guys, we're gonna do this again, and next time we do it, Charlie, I want Jordan and I want Steph Curry.
That's exactly right. That's exactly
and Sambo. Okay,
might as well get JT and Ricky while we're at it too. Let's just have a big old a 14 person
Brady
Zoom.
Too.
As long as Smiley's cool with it.
Yeah, I love that.
As long as
Smiley's
cool with that.
Smiley. Do you feel tension here between the two of them? Because I feel like there's a little bit of tension. So bad,
honestly, I think we should just cut the cameras off and just watch them go.
I feel like you guys should be getting along. I feel like these two podcasts should be getting along. I feel like there's more in common than you even realize, Stugatz. Like, for example, you had on a couple weeks ago on our football podcast, Brian Harman, who did not belong on God Bless Football because he's a golfer.
But I asked him one football question. I'm about to ask Smiley one, too.
Okay, but here's my counterpoint. Smiley had on Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, it seems like the shows are doing similar things where it's just like, a name? Yeah, come on here. We'll figure out how to make this work.
Absolutely.
I did have Harman on. I asked Harman to be an Alabama correspondent. Billy's not happy about it.
He promises he promises what? Jobs, and anyone who says anything about anything football related, he's like, you want to be a correspondent all season long? It's like, no, don't do that.
Well, listen, I may have our LSU correspondent because Smiley is a big fan of LSU and Coach O. And I have told
go Tigers.
You
go Tigers.
Were you devastated when Coach O left?
No, it's like the old saying goes. It's, you know, don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened. And that was Coach O's tenure at LSU. It was a beautiful train wreck.
Hey, Stu Gotts, if you need a Carolina correspondent, you know, I'm your guy. Just let me
Thank
know.
You.
I'm always ready for that. Yeah. Drake May, Charlie. You know, things of that nature. Yeah.
Can you get me Michael Jordan?
You can work on it. You know.
Smiley, put us where you were when Brian Kelly walked into that gym and right in front of our eyes went from being Brian Kelly to Boudreaux Kelly with an X. Put us where you were, what you were thinking when that happened.
It was during an LSU basketball game, and I was watching it, and they did cut to it. I think it was like on SEC Network or something, and they showed it. It was like, man, he's killing this this talking to the crowd. He speaks so well. He's CEO, like, totally different than what we had. And then he just kind of got into like the fam, like he totally tried to get a little too Southern twang into it. And I heard it. I was like, huh, that was a little not what anybody sounds like in Louisiana or really anywhere in the South. It was a bit of a head scratcher when I heard it, but I was like, yeah, you know what? Nobody probably will. I've heard it. Who else is watching LSU basketball halftime show right now? Probably just me and a couple other guys. Cause I think we sucked that year. So yeah. But he's been, I think, great for us. He's more of a CEO type. Is it a culture fit? I don't know. I mean, Nick Saban necessarily wasn't a culture fit coming from Michigan State to LSU, but he totally changed what we look at LSU football now. He totally changed the culture and how we do things at LSU, and Brian Kelly's no different. So I'm excited to see what he does. He already did great stuff in year one. Year two, I think it would be even better.
So you're a Bengals fan, I'm told. Is that just because of Joe Burrow? Is that it?
I mean, I guess I'm a Bengals fan. It would probably be Bengals and the Saints would be my two teams.
Hold on a second. This is some behind the scenes. Stugatz, you know, text me for a little research. I said he was a Bayou Bengals fan, which is another nickname for LSU, the Tigers. So.
Okay, but I think he's also a Bengals fan right?
Yeah. I am. I would say that I would cheer for the Bengals. I'd cheer for the Saints. Saints being because, you know, obviously Louisiana, New Orleans, and definitely the Bengals because of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They were fun to watch. And, you know, Birmingham is such a weird area. That's where I'm from. We are in literally the college football capital of the world, it feels like to me, with Alabama, Auburn, all right here. And there's just so many different options around us. So many Braves fans here from the TNT or the, I think it was TBS South. It was everybody used to watch the Braves in the Southeast. I can't remember what channel it was on, but you have them. Nobody's really a Titans fan here. You get some Saints fans. It's just a weird area for pro leagues because everybody here just really cares about college football.
Billy, I sent you the picture of a Smiley with a bunch of natty lights. Yep.
Yeah, you like that?
I think Billy has questions for you.
You made yourself a throne, I see.
No, we didn't make it. That's how Anheuser-Busch delivered it. We were on a guy's trip down at the beach. And anytime that we were on a trip, I just had to let them know like what the address was. And they would just drop us off a ton of beer.
Wait,
and they would wheelbarrow all these natty lights in, and they set them up just like that. It was like a throne, and all my buddies were taking pictures on it. They're like, oh cool, it's like a chair. And then, you know, I'm legitimately, that's what I put on that day at 8:30 in the morning, was a Bullets jersey, a American flag bathing suit, and I saw a Reagan Bush 84 hat and threw it on, and I wasn't well. I'm in that picture, I am not doing well. I couldn't be more in a rough spot. And literally, maybe 4 hours later, we were on SportsCenter Twitter, that same picture, and we're like, what in the world just happened? Because we just tweeted that picture out. Next thing you know, SportsCenter is posting that picture, and they're talking about natural light and who they signed, and they mentioned me, and they mentioned Mickey Mantle as another natty light person that they signed. I was like, I am in the same words. Like, when I woke up this morning, I didn't think I'd be on SportsCenter and be compared to Mickey Mantle. It was just I mean, not compared, but you know what I mean.
So there was a time in your life where you had a relationship with Anheuser-Busch that you could just have a throne of beer delivered to any location you were at.
Yeah, like it was a, I mean, it's
and
not,
now you're
it's not like
out with a, Charlie.
I mean, it's not like we're delivering barrels of wine. I mean, they were fine to send over some natty light. It's not like it's too because we probably finished a lot of them, to be honest. I mean, we could go back in the day.
Well, let's go back in the day. 2016 spring break. Those trips were legendary. Okay. By the way, we had Spieth on right after he won the Masters. And we talked to him about the green jacket and the fact that, you know, he had a big party after winning it and let all his friends wear the jacket and it got stained. And then we never had Jordan on again. Augusta wasn't very happy. 2016 spring break. Take us there. What was going on?
Well, it was 2 weeks after the Masters that him and I played together, where all the crap on 12 happened. So 2 weeks later, we couldn't be more ready to forget about what just happened. And actually, Ricky and JT played the following week in Hilton Head, and JT missed the cut by a million, and Ricky shot, or it was maybe Ricky missed the cut by a million, and JT shot like 81 on Saturday. So when we got there, it was like, all right, all systems go, we're going to the moon. And that was kind of it. And it was kind of before social media at the time. It just wasn't what it is now. You know, we were on Snapchat, and Ricky was super involved and engaged in how he put his content out, where now it's not that way anymore. He doesn't typically post his personal life, but at that time it was like, hey, do you care if I post you smashing that drive on the 12th hole with a drink in your hand? I'm like, absolutely not. And next thing you know, I had a couple more tequila drinks, and now I'm commentating the round. And so it was pretty epic. Those boys, we all get along great, and you know, still to this day, we're all very close friends.
Are you, now your dad now, when life has changed a bit for you, are you still doing the spring break trips with those guys or no?
Well, we went after Hilton Head this year, we went to Palmetto Bluff. It's a great area, about 40 minutes or so away from Hilton Head Island, and we brought the kids. It was just a different vibe. You know, we had babysitters. We still had a good time, but it wasn't, you know, it's just life changes. You know, it's just not quite as early 20s, mid 20s. It's just you have more responsibilities now, but still it was a great time with good friends.
What's the coolest foursome you found yourself playing in?
The coolest foursome. So you mean just of any time ever?
Yeah.
Just
any time in your life.
I mean, I probably, oh gosh. I like playing with those guys. It's that's such a cop out answer. I'm trying to think of cool people.
It's a pretty cool foursome.
I mean, there wouldn't be anybody I'd pick besides my family to play with than those guys, just because we have so much fun together. So I'll just keep it to that. I've played with a lot of really cool people as well, but collectively not quite as organized as those three dudes.
All right, so what if it's Coach O, Justin Jefferson, and Joe Burrow, okay? You have to decide between them and JT, Spieth, and Fowler. Who are you playing with? Come on.
No, I'm playing with my boys. I would love to play with Joey Burrow, and even I don't even know if Justin Jefferson plays golf, but it would be sick to play with him.
Right.
I would just make my putts and just gritty all over the place.
Is that what you would do?
Oh yeah, I'd hit the gritty.
What's the most money you've lost on a golf course?
I've never been a huge gambler, like not anywhere near. I would never play in Phil's games. I was a terrible practice round gambler because I like to, you know, use all my mental energy when I was playing for the tournament, not for a Tuesday. But I would probably say on a 9-hole bet, we do 500 for 9 holes, just straight up win or lose. And I think I lost that to Rory at Oakmont. And I think Ricky and I were playing, I think maybe it would have been Jordan and Rory or something like that. So it was really good to, you know, really help out Rory's career, give him $500 because he really needed the money probably.
Right,
so
right, exactly.
I'm just being a really kind person.
Stu Gatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
This episode is brought to you by Funnables. Funnables aren't just fruit snacks. Every bite your child takes is fuel to spark their imagination, taking them from a wild unicorn space mission to a deep sea dive into a rainbow river. Funnables are made with 7.1% real fruit puree and are an excellent source of vitamins A, C, and E. So anytime, anyplace, make snack time playtime with Funnables fruit snacks. Have fun, eat it too. Visit FunnablesSnacks.com to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Smiley Kaufman is with us. Check him out, The Smiley Show, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, at The Smiley Show on Twitter. It's interesting with Fowler. What happened there? Like, golf is such a strange game from a mental standpoint, where he's one of the best players in the world, then kind of goes away for a couple of years because he was drinking too much on spring break with you guys. I said that. You didn't say it. And then he comes back, and he has this resurgence. So, like, what happened there with him?
Well, first off, golf. Golf is just an animal and a beast. You can't explain it. But we've all kind of taken our turns for playing really crappy golf. It first started off with me, and then it went to Jordan, then it went to Ricky, and then it went to JT. And now it's, I think, the way I played last weekend, I think it's kind of coming back to me again. So I really need to hit balls tomorrow just to double check that I still got it. But it's just a crazy game. Hopefully all three of those guys can start playing good at the same time, because that's kind of how it was when we all met, is those three were all in the top 10 in the world.
Right. And you were getting there, right? I mean,
I was getting there, and then injuries and changing golf swing. And next thing you know, I'm holding a microphone.
Well, you were commentating spring break. You started calling
exactly.
Right.
We sent that film in to ESPN for this was a year and a half ago before Southern Hills, and I was looking to try to do something else, and my agent sent in some of that film of me commentating on spring break and a couple other things, and they're like, all right, yeah, we'll give him a shot. And next thing you know, it's a year and a half, year later, it's been my gig. It's been fun.
You're a brand new father, and we're all fathers here on this podcast, except for Charlie. So do you want any advice? I have two daughters.
Hold on a second now.
What happened?
I'm a father.
Charlie, I didn't know that. Sorry. Well, congratulations. Spoiler alert. Hey, stop playing golf and be a parent for crying out loud. Jesus.
What? I really thanks for keeping up with my life, Stu Gotts. Really, really appreciate, you know, the level of care and interest.
I meant we're involved parents. Okay. I'm sure that's what you meant.
That's a lot better too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm an absentee father, but I am a father. So you can't just call him.
Smiley, do you have any questions about being a father for either of us? Mikey, for Charlie, for me, for Billy, because Billy also just had a kid and he was complaining yesterday about all the school stuff and, you know, going to teacher meetings and all that stuff.
How old are y'all's kids?
Mine are in college.
Okay, so that's a different. We're at 6 or 7 months right now, so it's a little different timeline. Anybody else young?
Isn't it true that your daughter just won a national championship of some sort, Stu Gotts?
She did. She plays lacrosse at Northwestern, and her freshman year they won a national championship.
Good friends.
So good for you.
Yeah.
See how I keep up with you and your daughters. You
know. Yeah, Charlie. I feel bad. Yeah. I do, Charlie. It's going to stay with me for a little bit.
It will not.
It should. Yeah. No, probably not. By the time you hang up the Zoom call.
It is. She did win a national championship.
So you're a girl dad. You're a girl dad.
I am a girl dad. Yeah, twin girls.
Okay, yeah. I guess that would be my question: is how is life as a girl dad? Because that's currently what I am.
So for me, it's, you know, it's interesting because my wife really, she was way more involved. Like when they come to me, they're coming to me for fun. Like they just want fun. They want dad. They want jokes. They want to mess around. And they come to me. So they come to me for the fun, and they come to me when their mom says no. And that's, so you have that to look forward to, because that's what it's all about. Just don't say no. I mean, don't.
Yeah, you just don't need to upset the beast. You know, like we can get upset. Don't tip us over the line. You know,
right? Yes. Yes.
We're the good guy 9 times out of 10, but do not press the button.
Right, and then eventually, you know, you'll embarrass her, and that's all you'll have left. Okay, and you'll embarrass her at every single turn, and then the relationship will come full swing once they realize, oh my God, I'm about to get out of college. I don't have a job, any money. Time to be nice to dad again.
Okay. So it's like a
why do you have no faith in your daughter's ability to make something of themselves out of college?
It's a good question, Billy. Emma hasn't stopped partying. She's got to Syracuse, and Rachel, all she does is play lacrosse, and there's no professional league in lacrosse. So I don't know what to tell them, you know?
Yeah, you've just written them off. They're not going to amount to anything.
She's going to like sales or something, marketing. You know, you never know.
They don't want to do that. You know, Smiley knows this. Charlie, you know this. Kids don't want to work these days. They don't. They don't want to go into the office.
Didn't you say you have like a 4-month-old? Like, what 4-month-old do you know that's trying to get into the workforce away?
Bad now. Wait until 18 years from now. I mean, these people don't want to go to work, Smiley.
We'll take them over at the Smiley Show. We'll take them.
That's right. A couple production assistents. We could use the help, you know. Just send them on over.
You're offering my kids jobs right now. I mean,
Charlie has golfing to do.
Come on now. I can't be out here editing podcasts, cutting video. I have golf to play. Good Lord.
We'll start at an internship and we'll work into it.
Well, it's very nice of you guys. I appreciate it. Are you enjoying? It's you're exhausted, right? You have to be exhausted.
You talking about me?
It's
after the first 3 months it's gotten way easier. She's traveled with us on the road and we've enjoyed it. It's just a totally different lifestyle than what you were doing before you had kids. But once you kind of get into the groove of things and how to figure out how babies work and how schedules change, it's been like, I can't imagine life without her. It's a weird switch that'll go on and off during the day. It's like, man, this is so hard. I can't imagine life without her. And it just goes back and forth.
It's awesome, though. It's the best thing in the world. Enjoy every second of it, even the bad times. I tell Billy that all the time. He gets frustrated even during the bad times.
You make it seem like I'm constantly complaining to you about my children. You didn't even know I was having one until
I didn't even know Charlie had one.
Charlie had a kid. And I'm positive that you don't know my first daughter's name, who's 2. So, like, I don't even know.
Stop that. I love Brittany. I mean,
exactly.
Is her name not Brittany?
Not even close.
Okay.
And Smiley, for the first, I have a 2-year-old and I have a 1-month-old. And for like,
Congrats. Thank you.
So like the first like year and a half, Stugatz wasn't even sure that I had a daughter. So she's like, you have a child, right? And I was like, yes.
Listen, I am the worst at names. But now that all of my friends are just, all of them are starting to have kids. Yeah. I can't remember any of these kids' names, or a lot of times I'm never sure if a baby's a male or a female. So right. I'm like, oh, look at you, you know? It's
just say something like, oh, what a cutie, and then just keep it moving. You know what I mean? Be very non-specific.
Right.
Yeah, very vague.
Evaluate Charlie's game for us real quick, Smiley, before we get you out of here.
So I haven't played golf with him yet, but I've been his full-time, I would say, swing and mental coach currently as it stands. Mm-hmm. He gets an F for his putting. He gets an A for his heart. He gets an A for being the world's worst tinkerer when it comes to his golf game. And his body's probably right now at a D- with his neck, which is giving him a little issues for his swing, which I think his golf swing is a solid B. He's got some speed in there, but he's got some things going on wrong that I think had to mostly to do with his neck. So overall grade, if we're giving like a Madden score, we're going to put it right at an 81.
All right.
Oh, I'll take 81 every day of the week. Yeah, that's a good score.
Troy, you're a good golfer. I mean, I saw you on the range that day. You're a good golfer, man. Yeah, I didn't play with you, but I saw you on the range.
Smiley.
Look, it looks so good, in fact, that you bailed on me and sent me next door to play a single.
You were intimidating. You really were.
Smiley, Stugatz invited Charlie to go up and play with him about 90 minutes away from where Charlie lived, and then just left him on the range. And then send him to another golf course across the street.
Well, I mean, my course had a tournament that day, and I didn't know that. I was not aware.
Allegedly.
Of it. So I sent Charlie down the street to play another golf
down the street. Play the loneliest solo round of golf my entire life somewhere in Fort Lauderdale, the greater area.
I'm sure it was lovely.
Smiley, how do you feel about tricked out golf carts? What do you think?
Tricked out golf carts?
Yeah.
That's like one of the things I totally want is a tricked out golf cart for my house to be able to drive around the neighborhood or drive to go pick up my kid from school. Yeah, that's definitely on my list, but it's just, we're not in a neighborhood right now that it makes sense to have a golf cart to go anywhere. It's just, but yeah, I'm a fan.
How do you feel about guys or people who are blaring music out of that golf cart while on the course?
Big fan. Depends on the music, but yeah, typically I love loud music on the golf course.
How do you feel about a golfer that you're playing with having a lousy round, but telling you about all his good rounds?
I'm actually really good at not listening to people sometimes. You know, I'm been accused of having selective hearing. So honestly, talk away. You know, if you need to get it out, I'll just catch the last couple words and be like, oh yeah, you need to keep doing that. And, I've been accused of, when I'm looking at my phone or paying attention to something else, it my focus just goes out the window. So yeah,
excellent podcast host trait, Smiley.
How about the golfer that asks, "Is that OB?" when it's clearly OB? you know, no, that guy.
I know that guy. That guy's me at times. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't mind a good shtick on a golf course. So right. if it's a good shtick and it's a good bit, then I'm here for it. It's just maybe not every hole, but I am here for that.
All right. We appreciate this, man. It was a lot of fun. I hope that we could do it again. Check it out, The Smiley Show, and check him out on social media at The Smiley Show. You seem like you're in a good place, man. You're happy and just had a child, and you know, you're hanging out with Charlie. I mean, look at you. Who's better than you? And you got a golden do you have a white picket fence? I mean, you seem to have the perfect life, Smiley.
Hold on. We got you're about to say it. Yeah, there's my golden tree. Hey, there she is.
What a cutie.
Padre.
You kid. All right, man, we appreciate it. Good luck with the podcast.
Thanks,
hopefully, again, we'll do this down the road again.
It's almost football season, so I got to leave on a Gold Divers.
LSU correspondent, okay?
You got it. If you need
Charlie, congratulations on the kid.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much, you guys.
Very timely.
I tell you what, it's a lot of work in between all the golf I'm playing.
Give the kid my best. Really,
I will pass on your best, dude.
When you see him, yeah.
When you see the kid. Might be a couple of weeks, but I'll definitely make sure he gets the message.
All right, The Smiley Show, anywhere you get your podcast, and at The Smiley Show on Twitter and social media. Smiley, Charlie, thank you so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us on, buddy.
Yeah, boys.
Stugatz here from my friends over at Miller Lite. A lot's changed over the years. One thing that hasn't, the great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So, what is the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite sparked this debate in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. For me, it is simple. What I want out of my light beer is ice cold and great taste, and that's exactly what I get from the original light beer, Miller Lite. Miller Lite keeps it simple, undebatable quality, great taste, only 96 calories. It's the beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters most, a light beer that tastes like beer. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/stew, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting enrolls for recurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.